Okay, now you understand what Selah in the Bible means, right? What does it mean? It means pause, meditate, think about it. So if you hear me say Selah, it's because of the enchiladas I had at dinner. The Cortezes took care of us. They gave me a whole half of an enchilada. Can you believe that? Well, don't believe that. It was wonderful. All right. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Jennifer, I need my glasses. We're both blind. All right. Matthew chapter 9. Look with me, if you would, at verse 1. The Bible says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask for your presence. We ask for you to give me some unction from on high, Lord God, to be able to proclaim your word faithfully. I pray you'd give me the mind and the heart and the mouth to say the things which need to be said. And Lord, you can close it for those things that need not be said. I love you and I thank you. We pray that we give you honor and glory and pleasure. And I just pray, Lord, that these people here receive a blessing from it, not because of me, but because of you and your word. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We live in some pretty troublesome times. Our country is in a mess. But we don't have to be in a mess just because the country's in a mess. Yes, there's COVID-19, there's protests and riots, a divided country, all the media lies, universities brainwashing our kids, economic collapse, transgender this, transgender that, threats of nuclear war, and all the rest that's going on. But you can be of good cheer.
Amen.
Because your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
That's point number one I want to talk to you about tonight. Be of good cheer. You're absolved in your afflictions. In the midst of whatever you're going through, you're absolved. You're forgiven.
Amen.
Everything's been wiped away. This is as bad as it gets. If you're saved here tonight, this is the only hell you'll ever know. And if you're not saved here tonight, this is the only heaven you'll ever know. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I first got saved, reading the Bible, and I believe the book.
Yeah.
And I remember reading it and reading Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, and put light for dark and dark for light, and sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet," and all the rest of that. I remember reading that and saying, well, I believe the book, and I'm sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just doubt it will ever happen in my lifetime. Boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong. It's all around us, Christian.
Yeah.
But it's not a matter of what's all around us. It's a matter of what's all within us.
Amen.
And you're absolved in your afflictions.
Amen.
You're absolved. You're forgiven. And there's nothing that you can do about it. You'll never lose it. Ever.
Amen.
You know, I was talking to a guy that didn't believe in eternal security. And I said, you know, I've got two boys and a daughter. And I said, tomorrow, if one of them went out and shot somebody and killed them, do you think the next day they would no longer? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth.
Yes,
you know, I'm from upstate New York, and in the springtime, after all that snow and all that ice melts, the ground becomes very soggy, and we would step into it with our boots on and come up with only a sock. And that mud said, "I ain't letting go." And that was like that miry clay. "I'm not letting you go." And Jesus Christ said, "Let him go. Let him go." and he pulled you up out of that horrible pit. You're not going to go to hell and have a beer party. Why not, preacher? Well, because there's no water, and you need water to make beer, okay? The rich man just needed Lazarus to come over and just dip his finger into water, cool my tongue. He had no water. Yeah, it's not a joke. Hell's not a joke.
That's right.
Amen.
It's not a joke. And you know one thing I've never been able to grasp in all my years of preaching? Eternal.
Yeah.
Damnation.
Amen.
I understand 40 years, 50 years. I mean, we would even think a life sentence, 70, 80, 90 years, something like that. We're talking forever to never end eternal torment. All because someone refuses to receive the free gift that Jesus Christ paid for on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He paid for it for you. And all you have to do is say, I receive it.
Amen.
Didn't cost you a thing. But you know, unfortunately, oftentimes the things that cost us nothing lose our appreciation. You know, my son, when I gave him a car after his graduation from high school, it was just a used car, but it was a good car. It was a Buick Park Avenue. It was a good car and it drove real well. But when I'd get into his car, I had to like part the Red Sea from all the candy wrappers and Coke cans to sit down. But then later on, he got a better job. He started making some good money. He got rid of that Park Avenue and bought himself a Mustang. And guess what? I could get in his car no problem now. You couldn't even find a speck of dust in it. Why was he keeping that one so clean and the other one was so dirty? Because this one he earned on his own. He had sweat equity into it. You know, and we didn't put any sweat equity into our salvation. That's why we can oftentimes take it for granted and not be thankful for it. It's important that we remember. You know how many times God said to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, remember the day. You better remember the day. The day that I pulled you out of that horrible pit, set your feet on a solid rock, established your goings, and put a new song in your mouth. You better remember that day. And really, a day shouldn't go by in our lives that we don't say thank you for that. Never. You know, I used to stand at the door of our church when I was pastoring, and people would come in, I'd say, hey, Mike, how you doing? How's your day going? Well, it's all right. I said, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. He goes, what's terrible? I go, I thought you were saved. Well, I am saved, and you're just doing okay. It's just, I mean, just, you know, making it, that's about it. You know, if you're happy, tell your face. Amen?
Amen.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Help us not to forget where we came from. Help us to not forget what was done for us. Be of good cheer, you're absolved in your afflictions. 1966, Rochester, New York got hit with an unbelievable snowstorm. And the drifts, the snow drifts, went to the gutters of the houses. You could not even see out the back window of our kitchen because the snowdrift went all the way up to the gutters of the house. So I said to my dad, I was 8, my brother was 6, and I said to my dad, Dad, can Rick and I go out and play? And my dad said, as long as you don't go on the snowdrifts. I said, okay. Immediately, where do you think Paul went to? Immediately. I went right to the snowdrift. You know, my brother, he was smart. My brother says, I don't have to be good. I just have to be better than Paul. Yeah. And my father used to go around bragging. He said, you see my 4 kids? I had to spank Paul more times than the other 3 all put together. He had bragging rights on me. Yeah. But I went up to the top of that snowdrift. And I was standing there hanging onto that gutter. And immediately I fell in. Up to here. And we thought it was funny. My brother was laughing. He's at the bottom of the snowdrift because he's the obedient one. And I'm right here. And I tried to then crawl out, and as soon as I did, I sank deeper. And then my hands were only showing outside of the hole where I fell in. And I didn't know what to do. I started to get scared. And when I tried to pull myself up, the snow came down on top of me. I was being buried alive in a 10-foot snowdrift, and I'm only 8 years old. And I was crying. I can remember it to this day. My brother ran to get my dad. And all of a sudden, I saw this big paw come over.
Amen.
And my dad said, "Grab hold." And I grabbed hold, and he pulled me out.
There you go.
And he pulled me out, only to take me inside and beat my butt. I said, "Dad, why'd you save me only to kill me, you know?" But that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and did for me.
Thank you, Lord.
He pulled us out. Not on our, because we were sinners. I was a disobedient kid right there. Could have just left me there to die. But my Heavenly Father said, "Come on up, son. Come on up. Miry clay, let him go. Horrible pit, he's coming on out. I'm putting him on a solid rock. I'm establishing his goings, and I'm putting a new song in his mouth."
Amen.
Never lose your thankfulness for that. No matter what you're going through, and I know everyone's going through something here. Whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, you're going through something without a job, whatever the case may be. In the midst of it all, if you're saved here tonight, you are forgiven. What is the world, the worst this world could do to you? Because look at what we've got waiting for us on the other side.
Amen.
Look in your Bible at Titus chapter 2. Do you think if a firefighter went into your home that was totally engulfed in flames to try and rescue your child that was trapped in an upstairs bedroom, and yet that firefighter put his life on the line, went in there and got your child out, brought him out to you unharmed, laid him in your arms, do you ever think you'd ever forget his name? Do you think you'd ever forget that day? I hope none of us forget the day that the Lord Jesus Christ saved our souls. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 13 with me. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Well, I'm going to tell you one thing those nuns taught me in Catholic school was that an adjective described a noun. And look at all the wonderful adjectives in that verse. Looking for that blessed hope, not just hope. And the glorious appearing, not just an appearing. Of the great God, not just God. And our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not just Jesus Christ. You read that verse without that, looking for that hope and the appearing of God and our Jesus Christ. Just doesn't have the same ring to it as it does with all those adjectives. Don't allow your Christian life to go without the adjectives.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is great. He's glorious. He's magnificent. He's worthy. He is loving. He's compassionate. He is merciful.
Amen.
And he's just.
Amen.
You know, I'd much rather suffer affliction from the world's wrath now than to suffer affliction from God's wrath later. Turn your Bible, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For those of you that aren't saved here tonight, you need to look at this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 9 with me. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath."
Thank you, Lord.
Well, if he's not appointed us to wrath, what has he appointed us to? "But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." He wants you to be saved. He died for you. I want you, if you're not saved here tonight, I want you to know, he didn't die for you. He died for you.
Amen.
He died for you. He died for you.
Amen.
He died for you individually, by name. Throw your name in there. I did on February the 12th, 1984, for the Lord Jesus Christ died for Paul Ionello.
Amen.
And he died for you. And if I was the only one on earth at the time, he would have died for me.
Thank you.
And he would have died for you. What a loving God.
Thank you, Lord.
How can we forget about it? Well, we're not appointed under wrath. Aren't you thankful we're not appointed under wrath?
Amen.
but there are some things we are appointed unto. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Another reason to be of good cheer. You're appointed to your afflictions. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." God made an appointment for Paul at Rome. You must go. You must bear witness of me. God sets appointments for you. God sets appointments for me. And sometimes they're pleasant, and sometimes they're not so pleasant. But God knows what he's doing. And it's always for your good and for his glory.
Amen.
Here's Paul, a prisoner on a boat, in a horrific storm, about to be bitten by a viper, and headed to Rome to get beheaded, and God says, "Cheer up."
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't get much better than this, Paul. You having fun yet? Yeah, well, we can if we understand that the appointments are from the Lord.
Amen.
Do you remember in Acts chapter 5 when the disciples were warned not to preach Jesus Christ? In Acts chapter 5, then they imprisoned them. Then the angel of the Lord came and let them out. And what did they do? They went, you know, preaching more. Then they grabbed these disciples and beat them. They beat them. These are Roman guards. They beat them. And then these guys walk away, praising God, leaping and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow!
Amen.
The only way you can do that is if you can honestly say, this was of the Lord. This was God. And he used us. It was an appointment. God has appointments for you, and God has appointments for me. And he makes those appointments, and you will keep it. You may not keep the doctor's appointment and the dentist appointment, but you'll keep his appointments.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 3, turn there with me. What do you do to a steak to tenderize it? You poke it, you stab it, you pour salt into it. All these things to tenderize a steak. You know, what was it said of Paul the Apostle? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. The Lord was tenderizing Paul, just like he likes to tenderize you and me. He wants us to be tender. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. That no man should be moved by these, what's that word?
Afflictions.
For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Those are appointments. God makes appointments for you and makes appointments for me. Those hard times that you're going through right now, that oftentimes we look up and we shake our fist and sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, those could actually be appointments from God himself.
Amen.
And we need to be careful that we shake not our fist at God.
Amen.
And curse that day.
Amen.
You know, I think about Peter. Remember Peter in Acts chapter 12? The Bible says that Herod killed James with the sword. Then they took Peter also because they saw that it pleased the people. Puts Peter in jail with four quaternions of soldiers. That's 16 Roman guards. Not panty waists. We're talking Roman soldiers. And he's chained in between two. And we know Peter and Peter's character. You know Peter's character. He was the boisterous one. He was the one that would speak out when all the rest would keep quiet. Though all men forsake thee, yet not I. So what's Peter saying right about now, in between 16 soldiers, chained between two, knowing that tomorrow he's going to get his head cut off? He's probably screaming, "Is this the way you repay me? After 3.5 years, I left my father's business. I left the fishing industry. I left my home. I left everything behind to serve you for 3.5 years. Is this the way you say thank you?" No, what's Peter doing? Pete, wake up. Wow, what's up? Do you know that tomorrow you're going to get your head cut off? Yeah, would you keep it down? I'm trying to get a little sleep here. How in the world could he go through something like that? We know Peter's character. He had to have known. He had to have come to the place of understanding what God was doing in his life.
Amen.
He set an appointment for Peter. The same as with Paul when he was in had people forsake me. They want nothing more to do with me. But I've never had an entire continent not want anything to do with me. It's all Asia is against me, Paul said. All Asia. You know? And everyone forsook him. Demas forsook him. Everyone else. And there's Paul in that jail cell. And what does he say? Hey, would you do me a favor? Bring me the parchments. Yeah. What? Paul, you're going to get your head cut off tomorrow. I know. I got some work to finish before I go. Can you imagine responding that way? Knowing that tomorrow you're going to meet your maker. You're going to have your head cut off. And what he's concerned about is finishing some of his writings before he goes. The only way you can do that is to truly believe that I'm here because of the Lord. I'm here for the Lord. And that's why he showed up in the jail cell. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Though all men had forsaken him, Jesus Christ was right there in the midst. What a blessing. Did you ever notice that hurricanes have little effect on palm trees? Hurricane comes in, topples buildings, takes off roofs, flips over tractor trailers, and there's those palm trees after the storm come, just like that. Sitting just like that. Those skinny little things, they're that big. And they're standing up. Why is it they're able to stay up? They're so flexible. They roll with the punches. And boy, that's what we need to be able to do as Christians, is to roll with the punches, be flexible, and understand that what God's bringing into our life is for our good and for His glory. They are appointments. He sets appointments for you. We don't always like the appointments, but we can learn to like the appointments. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." We all know the story of Job. Who authored that day? The devil? Or God? God authored that day. God's the one that said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Hast thou considered Job? You can do whatever you want to him, just don't kill him." And Job was a righteous man. And Job's three friends, you know, they all said, "What did you do, Job? You're obviously sinned. You're obviously God's against you." And it was all for the glory of God. It was Satan that got kicked out of the throne room there. And Job was doubled in his prosperity at the end. God gave him double everything he lost. But who authored that? God did. God authored for me. When my first wife died of breast cancer, I couldn't work for 2 years. Prior to her dying, I had to stay with her day and night. I had to carry her to the restroom at the end of her life. At night, I'd be waking up. And she'd say something, I'd wake up and I'd have to carry her to the restroom. And that went on. I couldn't do business. I couldn't do pastoral work. I mean, there was a lot of things I couldn't do. And financially, we were in a mess. And then my wife died and things blew up and two of my kids just couldn't handle it. And I mean, it was a day of adversity for me. And I remember saying to myself, I can't go on. I can't go on. But then I thought about it. I thought about, I have to go on. Think about the number of people that I would affect by not continuing my race. Amen. By not taking what God had appointed me to. Amen. Like a man. Like a man of God he called me to be. Why couldn't I be like Peter? Why couldn't I be like Paul? I could be. Because I have the same Lord Jesus Christ Amen. In me that they had.
Amen.
And I determined I was going to keep marching ahead. Amen. And the very next thing God did was bring me Miss Jenny. And what a blessing that was to be able to continue on in the work of evangelism. And that was all because of the Lord. But I had to go through the appointment. I had to assume and accept the appointment. You know, so many people are looking for churches that are comfortable. You need to be looking for a church where you can be conformable. We're here to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We're not here to be made comfortable. The Bible says about the children of Israel in Egypt, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The affliction brings growth. God knows what He's doing. Yes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, David said. How do you make a diamond? In intense pressure and heat. It's how you make one of the most valuable, you know, minerals on earth. It's intense pressure and heat. You ever play with Play-Doh? If you didn't play with Play-Doh, you need to go home right now and go get yourself some. You were never a kid. But how do you change the shape of Play-Doh? You apply pressure. And I can make that Play-Doh into any design that I want it to be. I can make it an animal. I can make it, you know, an elephant. I could make it a car, whatever I want, as long as I applied pressure. And that's what God knows about you and me. He wants to make us into the image of Jesus Christ. And that only happens through pressure. Amen. And he appoints us to afflictions. We had a lady in our church. Her name was Miss Kitty. Not the same as on Gunsmoke, but her name was Miss Kitty. She was in her early 30s. She had 4 children at that time, and she had rheumatoid arthritis. They lived 105 miles away from our church, and they drove every Sunday and every Wednesday. 105 miles one way. 2-hour trip every Sunday, every Wednesday, each way. She had rheumatoid arthritis, so you can imagine after a 2-hour car ride, she'd get out of that car, she'd be a stiff, you know, she'd be like a robot. She couldn't move. And she'd come into the church, "Hi, how are you? So good to see you. Did you have a good week? Could I pray for you about anything?" It wasn't, "Oh, my aching back, oh, my arthritis, it's killing." She never complained. She always had a smile on her face. Yet she couldn't go through an airport security system without setting the thing off. Every joint in her body had been replaced. One day I got a phone call. It was Miss Kitty. They were home, and we had gotten unbelievable rain in Tennessee. And the rivers overflowed the banks. They lived down in the valley all by themselves, only ones in the valley. And the river overflowed its banks and was flooding the valley. And the water was rising around their house. And she called and says, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. We can't get out of the house. There's no way for us to get to dry ground. And the water's rising and the kids are crying and we've got animals in the house and I don't know what to do." And I said, "Is there water in the house yet?" "No, not yet. It's getting close though." And I said, "Okay, we're coming." So I got some of my men together. We got a boat. We got a truck. We went on out there, 2-hour drive out there. And when we got there, the water had already risen above the threshold of the door. It was now in the house. The kids were screaming, obviously. The animals were going crazy. And we got everybody into the boat. Praise the Lord. Miss Kitty still had a smile on her face, was thanking God that we were there. "Praise God, Pastor. Thank you so much. Thank you for your care." And, you know, we got them into the boat and got them to shore. And, you know, everything was great. Then the insurance company awarded them a check. A check so large that they were able to buy the house closest to our church. Within 1 mile of our church, they got a brand new home within 1 mile of our church. Amen. That's my God.
Amen.
But they went through the trial, they went through the affliction, praising the Lord, still with a smile on their face and not cursing God. This is how you thank us for driving to church 2 hours each way, every week, every Monday, or every Sunday, every Wednesday. No, no. They took it. They understood it was from God. I mean, have you ever played with Legos? I know some of you have never played with Play-Doh. Have you played with Legos? Okay. All right, good. We got Legos in the back. That's good. I used to play Legos with my kids. I remember building things with them. We'd build cars, we'd build castles and forts and houses and all the rest. But I remember we would dump all those Legos out onto the floor. Whoa, boy, they were everywhere. We had thousands of them. Green ones, yellow ones, red ones, white ones, all different colors, some long, some short. But I remember building things, and I remember saying, oh, I need a little white one with two bumps on it. Just a little white one like this. With just two bumps. You know what my mind was able to do as I sorted through all those Legos? I disregarded every other color except for the one I was looking for. And my mind was able to focus on a little white one with two bumps. And I disregarded the blues, the greens, the yellows, the reds. And you can do the same thing when going through a trial to look for the good in it. You can look for the good. You can find it if you look. And disregard all the woes and all the problems and look for the good in it. You can find it. God's not hiding it from you. He'll show it to you. Amen. He'll show it to you. We were taking a missions trip out to Colorado from Nashville. And my son's a Mustang enthusiast, as I already said. And so as we're driving on out there to Colorado, every time he see a Mustang, oh, there goes a Boss. Oh, there goes a 5.0. There's a GT. There's a Shelby. There's a Roush. Wow, look at them all. There's a 1964. You know, that was the first year that the Mustang came out. And he's yelling them all out. So we finally get to Denver, and I said, man, you saw a lot of really nice Mustangs, didn't you? He goes, I sure did. I said, how many nice VW Beetles did you see? He goes, None. I go, why not? He goes, I wasn't looking for them.
Amen.
If you look for the good, you just might find it. Be of good cheer. You're absolved in your afflictions. Be of good cheer. You're appointed to your afflictions. Number 3, be of good cheer. You're accompanied in your afflictions. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And look with me if you would at verse 50. For they all saw him, Christ, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In the midst of any affliction that we go through as children of the Lord, he goes with us. We're accompanied by the Savior. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And isn't it David, the one that said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. You'll never go through an affliction for Christ without Christ going through it with you. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to him?
Amen. Amen.
Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to him? God knows all. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. He knows that you need his presence. He knows how to make himself known to you in the midst of that affliction. He wants to walk with you through it. Whether it's in a fiery furnace, a lion's den, in a storm, or in a jail cell, he's right there with us. And as I said, that's when Jesus said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Jesus was in that cell. The angel of the Lord was in that cell with Peter. He's right there with us.
Thank you, Lord.
Whatever you're going through, and I know it's hard. Whatever. And I don't even know. I haven't talked to any of your pastors about trials or, you know, things that their people are going through. But you know what they are, and he knows what they are. And it's important for us to remember that he can make those appointments. He'll go with us. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you what you need. You just got to trust him.
Amen.
You know, like you trusted him when you got all your sins absolved. You got to trust him as you walk through life as well, not just getting saved. Not only are you accompanied by the Savior, you're accompanied by the saints. A verse we all know so well, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What's the verse 9 say, though? Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished by your brethren that are in the world. The same afflictions, the same thing you're going through, others have gone through before you. There's not a problem that any of you are going through tonight that somebody hasn't gone through before you and gone through it successfully and gone through it where God got the glory. People have done it before. That's why I enjoy the Old Testament. I know doctrinally I'm not held to the Old Testament, but I enjoy the Old Testament because it enables me to relate. When I see guys like Abraham, who didn't trust God during, you know, the time of famine, he went down into Egypt, maybe that's something I would have done. But when I see Abraham do that, I say, man, he messed up too. And what did he do? He got up and he came back out of Egypt and returned to the place where he last met with the Lord. If he can get up and do right, I can get up and do right. Yeah. You know, and other people, and Moses, he smote the rock. He shouldn't have smote the rock, but he messed up. I mean, he didn't quit on God. You know, it's just, I enjoy, and David, how did he, you know, commit two of the most heinous crimes in scripture, and God still kept him as king, and God still used him. He didn't quit on God. And God surely did not quit on him. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And that's point number 4. Be of good cheer. You're able in your afflictions. Amen. You can do it.
Amen.
You can do it. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And in verse 33. Selah. Thank you for that enchilada. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And if he's in you, you can overcome the world.
Amen.
If he's able, you're able with his help. You know, I used to work out with my boys. They didn't really like it too much. I used to get them up back when we were homeschooling. I'd get them up at 5 in the morning. Come on, boys, get up. And we'd go out to the shed, which didn't have a heater in it. We had a propane heater. We had to go out there and turn that on. And then we'd go in and have breakfast. And about 30 minutes later, we'd come out and we'd do our workouts. And I had a 13-year-old at that time and a 16-year-old. And the 13-year-old, Luke, he just wanted to, you know, he wanted to push on that bench press. He wanted to see how much he could get. You know, the one thing I didn't do when Luke was bench pressing at 13 years old, I did not put 400 pounds on the bar. Well, why not? Because I love my son. It would have killed him, 400 pounds. Don't you think your heavenly father knows what you can handle and what you can't?
Amen.
Don't you think your heavenly father would never put more on you than you could bear? Yeah. So I didn't. You know what I put on the bar for Luke? Let's say 135. And Luke pushed it. Ah! I did it, Dad. But guess what happened the next time I come out to work out? I'll put a 5 on this side extra and a 5 on this side extra. Why? I want to increase the resistance. If I don't increase the resistance, I'll never increase his strength. And that's the same thing God. God doesn't expect you, having been saved for a month, to bear what a guy that's been saved for over 40 years can bear. God knows what you can bear. And he's a great heavenly father. So don't say, I can't handle it. I can't take it. You can't handle it on your own. Granted. But with his help, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. David said, by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. It's God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God.
That's right. Amen.
You try and do it on your own, you're right. It's probably more than you can bear. But with Him, you'll never have a problem you can't handle.
Amen.
If the Lord's with you. We had a grandfather clock. We have a big grandfather clock in our house. It was made in 1812. It's gorgeous. It was one of Jenny's mom's antiques. And the one thing I noticed about that grandfather clock, it's got those big heavy weights on it that you put on it. And as soon as I take those weights off, it stops ticking. Without the weights, we stop ticking. Without the burdens that the Lord places upon us, the things He wants us to carry for Him, take up your cross daily and follow me. We stop ticking. And God knows exactly how much weight He should put on us to keep us ticking. It's important. A man was walking through the woods one day. He came upon a tree, and hanging from the tree was a cocoon. And there was what was a caterpillar in there, has now become a butterfly, was breaking its way out of the cocoon. And it was open about a quarter of the way. Well, this guy that was walking through the woods thought he would do that butterfly a favor and take out his penknife, and he cut the cocoon. And that butterfly fell to the ground and died. Because it was the process of breaking open that cocoon that strengthened that butterfly's wings to be able to fly. God designed it that it had to go through that burden so that it could be the butterfly God created it to be. And God places burdens on us the same way, so that we can fly, so that we can do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has created for us to do.
Amen.
And the last point, point number 5, be of good cheer, you're approved by your afflictions. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. We are approved as ministers of Jesus Christ by how we go through the afflictions God sends our way. We approve ourselves. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. It's our last chapter. 2 Corinthians 6. Or if I was like my son, I'd say this is the last verse and then give you 10 more. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. Watch this now. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. How do we approve ourselves as ministers of God? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Point number 5, be of good cheer. You're approved by your afflictions. Have you ever had the attitude, I don't have to prove anything to anybody? If you're a born-again Christian here tonight, you're lying to yourself. The Bible says you are too. You do have something to prove to a lost and dying world. The Bible says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Prove it. How? Endure afflictions.
Amen.
Go through them like you should. You know, I alliterated once. I did a message entitled about suffering. And I found verses in the Bible to support each and every one of the letters of S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G. Verses about suffering in Scripture. The first one was establish, strengthen, and settle. Why we should suffer. Second one was that we'd be unashamed of the gospel. You. F for the furtherance of the gospel. The other F for the forsaking of sin. E for an example to others. R for rejoicing. I for instruction in righteousness. N for no fear of man. And G for the glory of God. So, well, brother, maybe you can help me. Is establish, strengthen, and settle, is that a good thing?
Yeah.
To be unashamed of the gospel, is that a good thing?
Yeah.
For the furtherance of the gospel, is that a good thing?
Yeah.
For the forsaking of sin, is that a good thing?
No.
Forsaking sin? Say yes, please. See? As an example to others.
Yes.
Yes. Is rejoicing. Is that a good thing? Is instruction in righteousness? Is that a good thing? And no fear of man, is that a good thing?
Yes.
And the glory of God, is that a good thing?
Yes.
So how much would you like? If all of those are good, and suffering brings about all of those good things, how much would you like?
Amen.
But Paul the Apostle said, who got beaten and whipped, he was whipped 39 times, 5 different times, left for dead, stoned, shipwrecked, left in the deep. That man was so abused, yet he said, for our light affliction is but for a moment, not to be compared to the glory. Exactly, he said, we are troubled on every side. Not distressed. Remember I said it's not what's going on around you, it's what's going on within you. All these problems can be going on around out here, but how are things in here? How are things in here? We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why, Paul? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
I mean, here he is standing before Agrippa, you know, and trying to testify of his life and answer his questions and all the rest. And Paul says, I think myself happy. Paul, I mean, seriously, Paul, you have to be crazy to think you're happy in the midst of all of this. But he said, I count all things but dung. I want Christ. I want Christ to be magnified in my body. I want a lost and dying world, as well as the brethren, to know that Christ dwelleth in me. I want to be approved as a minister of God. Maybe it's been a while since you've played Legos, but maybe you should ask the Lord, Lord, help me find that little white one with two bumps. I know I'm going through a hard time right now, but help me find the little white one with two bumps, would you? Be of good cheer, Christian, you're absolved in your afflictions. Be of good cheer, you're appointed to your afflictions. Be of good cheer, you're accompanied in your afflictions, both by the Lord as well as the brethren.
Yep.
And be of good cheer, you're able. You can do it. With God's help, you can get through it. And lastly, be of good cheer because you're approved through your afflictions.
Amen.
That I am a minister of Jesus Christ and I'm going to go through this. I want my Lord and Savior to be proud of the way I go through this for Him, to endure afflictions, to make full proof of my ministry.
Amen.
Tonight, I just want to leave you with that, Christian. I want to leave you with a word of encouragement that, as bad as it might seem, look for that little white Lego. You'll be able to find the Lord Jesus Christ is right there as well with you, going through it, giving you the strength that you need, letting you know that your sins have been forgiven, you have nothing to complain about, and God is good, who has lifted you out of a horrible pit and given you the opportunity to be a representative, an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we do thank you for the night.
Thank you.